This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
So, Sheldon, could you just walk us through Property Guru's new consumer sentiment survey?
Okay, well, thank you for the question, Lynn. So the consumer sentiment survey is something that we do every 6 months with our consumer base. The reason why we touch base with the consumer that frequently is to get what the sentiments are regarding the current market conditions, whether it be, you know, stable, positive, or on a downward slope, because sentiment is very important from a property perspective to know what cycles we're in.
And how does this differ from other indices in the market? I mean, Property Guru itself has multiple indices going on.
So it's interesting because indices sort of indicates where we are currently. And the sentiment survey sort of reflects sentiment, as rightly pointed out. At the same time, we've got price indexes. So if the sentiment is positive and you equip it with an increasing price index, buyers will be more informed, sellers will be more informed as well as to what current cycles they're in, what the price points should be, what should be the asking price point if I'm going to buy a particular property. So it does give a good reference in order to make confident property decisions.
Right. And how is the consumer sentiment survey calculated? What kind of things does it cover?
Well, it covers various data points. For example, it covers the price, the current sentiment around economic conditions, the sentiment around financing, the sentiments around supply, and all these are put together and then indexed. So it does give a reference point as to what the entire sentiment is around the property industry, as opposed to just one factor of the property industry.
Is there a particular group that it's targeted at?
Yeah, so it's mainly targeted at consumers, so buyers and sellers sort of fall and overlap within this industry. But it's good reference points regardless which side are you on, whether you're on the buy side or the sell side, because it sort of gives you an indicator as opposed to an affirmed answer as to what the current conditions are. So if you're a seller, you would normally use it to know how you should price. If you're a buyer, you would normally use it to know what would be the asking price. And because the index started at 2015, so that's when we saw sort of a downward cycle, it's a good starting point to have a reference as to where we are currently.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but your current consumer sentiment survey is mainly based on residential properties. Is that correct?
Yeah, predominantly residential properties.
Yeah. Do you have any plans to expand it to commercial properties or just residential?
Well, actually, it kind of overlaps. But every time we talk about property, 90% of the consumers we survey are in the residential space. So commercials, the commercial property buyers are sort of overlaps, but it's just a minority group that we see. We could, you know, we may have plans eventually to sort of segment it differently. But overall, it's good to have a general feel about the property industry just based on consumer sentiments.
Okay, so just digging into the survey itself, what would you say is the present level of consumer satisfaction with the property market in Malaysia?
Yeah, so this time the sentiment survey gave us some very interesting data in the sense that we've seen a somewhat stable sentiment. We've seen a huge jump from 2015 going into 2016, a 10% increase in sentiment on a more positive note. However, 2016 going into 2017, we saw a 0.2% or 2% decrease in the sentiment survey. So it sort of indicates stability. It sort of indicates consumers are adjusting to the current market conditions. After a rough patch going into 2015 and coming out of 2016, the sentiment is telling us that they are adjusting to the current market conditions.
And what would you say are the contributing factors influencing consumer sentiment?
So there's two main factors that are contributing towards the current consumer sentiment. And it's namely the stable appreciation of property prices in 2017. And also the long-term capital appreciation that they can get, which is the stability of prices is not as volatile as they used to be when you had speculators in the market. So 2014, we had, you know, the government put very good measures to curb speculators. So now you have prices increase gradually but stable. So this boosts a lot of confidence to the general consumer to invest in property. And these are sort of the main two factors that are influencing the sentiment in the current market conditions.
And is this consistent across the board or is it specific to, say, the Klang Valley or Johor perhaps?
These are mainly in key urban areas like Kuala Lumpur, Penang and Johor, and of course Selangor. So we sort of focus on these four particular states, mainly because the main residential property are targeted around these four states.
Right, okay. I was looking at another one of your indexes, not the Consumer Sentiment Survey, your Property Market Index, and I believe Johor showed some slightly unusual data as compared to the Klang Valley and Selangor. Is that reflected in the Consumer Sentiment Survey?
Yes, it does. We've seen Johor slightly buck the trend as opposed to Penang, Selangor and Kuala Lumpur, where we've had a slight increase in the three states. But in Johor in particular, we had quarter-on-quarter drastic increase. And the main reasons behind that, obviously, is there's a few things that happened in Johor recently that could have boosted a lot of confidence in the property market. One, namely, would be the MOU signing of the HSR. You know, we see a lot more concrete plans going into the HSR project. So that sort of boosts confidence because it boosts connectivity amongst people. It opens up the borders a lot more. And I think in Johor in particular, given its location, it's dependent on human mobility across the borders. So that's one of the main reasons why we see Johor in recent quarters seen a lot more positive sentiment going into the market.
And there's also been several very large developments in Johor.
Yeah, particularly, we've obviously heard around the Chinese developers coming in for Forest City is a big story in Johor. So if you look at the price points that they're selling their property at, obviously it's an isolated island by itself, but you've got strong activities going into the marketplace. So it sort of boosts confidence as well that people are willing to invest in Johor as a location.
And so coming back to the Klang Valley a little bit, are people willing to invest in property here, would you say?
Yeah, so the recent trend we've seen is the fact that the three motivations to buy a property are location, security of where you're buying a property, and last but not least, size of the particular unit. These are the three main motivating factors when deciding to buy a property. And with the MRTs already running, we're starting to see good options or good take-up options in places that are further away from the city, about 27 to 30 kilometers away from the city. And the good thing about these locations is you get the opportunity to have a bigger size units. You also have the opportunity for gated and guarded community, which is a hot trend nowadays for among developers. And last but not least is you also get good price points, which is sort of all within the affordable range for Malaysians. As opposed to closer towards the city, you're forced to go smaller, which developers are building smaller options as well. You pay a premium for the price per square foot, but you kind of settle for condos, which sort of address your security concerns as well. You have choices of going further with the luxury of size and price per square foot as opposed to smaller and premium price per square foot.
Sheldon Fernandez from Property Guru is on the Property Show today to speak to us about Property Guru's Consumer Sentiment Survey. In a little while, Sheldon and I will delve a little deeper into the survey and what a push for affordable housing will mean for high-end developments in the Klang Valley. BFM 89.9. The Property Show on BFM 89.9 continues with our guest, Sheldon Fernandez, Country Manager for Malaysia at Property Guru. So, Sheldon, looking at Property Guru's Consumer Sentiment Survey, there doesn't seem to be much of a market for high-end developments. More than half the population surveyed were looking at properties under 500,000 ringgit. Could you talk to us a little bit about that?
Well, I would say people are looking for properties they can afford. So in recent years, we've seen this topic come up over and over again, which is property prices are not affordable. And affordable housing, though, sort of caters to a lower end of the housing market. So the word affordable is loosely used here and there. So by definition, industry standard dictates that it should be three times or one-third of your median income in order to fall under the affordable range of properties. That means consumers can afford the property in the country. And in Malaysia, we got 4.4 times. So in that sense, we're seriously unaffordable. So that's why the price range of 500,000 and below is a sweet spot. With median incomes in Malaysia around 5,000 ringgit, and if you do the one-third of your repayment of your household income, that would fall within that property price range. And then there's the affordable housing that is done by government that caters to individuals who can't even afford a roof on top of their head, right? It's not uncommon. It happens in every country, and Malaysia is one of them. You know, that's a whole different scenario altogether when it comes to property challenges.
But then what does this preference for 500,000 ringgit and below properties mean for high-end developments like the ones that we're seeing coming up in the city centre in particular?
Yes, good question. So high-end property will continue to be active in Malaysia as we become more attractive as a country to invest in. As businesses move in, they come in with good talent. And hopefully with the increase in wages, we'll start to see Malaysians being able to afford high-end property. But that's obviously a challenge now because wages are not increasing as fast as prices. So for high-end properties, what it really means is you've got to open your borders and you've got to create a whole new market for yourselves. You know, foreign investors like Malaysia as a destination. We've seen, particularly in KLCC, have a drop in prices recently, given to the current market challenges around the oil and gas industry. Talents are moving back home as opposed to coming into the country. But it's a cycle we're in. You know, as things get better, you start to see the cycle go back up. And that's just an indicator of the cycle we're in. So, yeah.
So going back again to your property market index, that indicated that Malaysian property prices were sort of stabilizing. Do you see them spiking again in future?
Yeah, so the next two quarters will be interesting. It will give us a strong indication whether or not we're going to see an upward trend. So in the last four quarters, if you look at the property market index, we've seen a downward trend. But in from Q4 going into Q1 2017, Q4 2016 going into Q1 2017, we've seen a 0.2% increase. So hence why I said the next two quarters, maybe not even the next quarter, the next two quarters will give an indicator whether we are on an upward trend, but still below the price index of 2015. So the good times will come back, but maybe in a year or two.
Right. And another thing covered in your consumer sentiment survey was the perception that there is an oversupply in the market. Could you tell us a bit more about this?
Yeah. So the perception is when you see non-take-ups of units, and perception, as I said, is very, very important in the property market. But if you look at the data that we have recently, any property price within the 500,000 mark and below, there's take-up for it. Bank Negara recently released data around bank loans as well. And almost half of those bank loans are for properties below 500,000. So what remains a challenge, obviously, is for the high-end properties. And as expats move out, you see empty units across key areas like KLCC, etc. So that sort of contributes to the perception of oversupply. But in Malaysia, generally, we don't have an issue of oversupply. We still need a lot more affordable houses. Houses below 500,000 ringgit is still very much needed in Malaysia. But there are still challenges for developers to build within the price range. Hence why the trend of going further out is an option, and we're starting to see that happening quite substantially. And if it's closer, developers are also looking at the situation and building smaller. So, you know, studio units, if you're a single professional, you'd want to consider a studio unit in KL, which, you know, 5 years back, you wouldn't even think about it. Because, you know, we like our space as Malaysians, and we want a 1,000 over square feet condo. So you suddenly see these trends adjust with the times.
So, but what you're saying is that basically our property market is sort of a mismatch for what consumers actually want, which is slightly cheaper housing, as opposed to what we have, which is a lot of high-end developments that are not really being taken up. Is that right?
Yeah, so there's a mismatch in terms of affordability.
Yeah.
As I said, you know, the strongest indicator is wages is not going up as fast as price. So until we start seeing that trend sort of go in tandem, I think we are fundamentally solving industry problem. But that day may come in the near future. But until then, we'll have to adjust with what the current market conditions are and build. So that means supply according to what market demand is, and for demand to sort of meet its supply.
Mm. So with the government building more affordable housing, Prima and whatnot, do you think we'll see more people moving towards that kind of housing in future?
Well, it's an option, but for those houses, you have to qualify for it. So there's a qualification criteria that is attached to it, which helps really people who absolutely need those kind of housing programs. But I think, you know, developers also can play their part in terms of building according to the market's demand. which I, again, I say it's a sweet spot. But, you know, that's not to say that there's no market at all for Malaysia, for 500,000 and above. There is, but it's a niche. And it's also a good investment opportunity because you got, you know, good rental yields, for those properties when you rent out to, your tenants, etc. But I guess the majority of property that's needed are within the sweet range of 300 to 500,000 ringgit.
So looking at all of this, maybe could you give us a bit of a forecast, perhaps, of how you think the property market in Malaysia is going to perform?
Well, it's hard to forecast the property market in general. However, sentiments does give you an idea. So there's no one factor that determines what the price is going to be like in the future. So that's the interesting thing about the property industry. It's all about sentiments. And hence why the relevance of continuously checking what the sentiments are in the marketplace and then supporting that with asking price, which is what we do. So there's two data points that we refer to. So far, that indicator of those two indexes suggests that it's going to be a very stable market, nothing too drastic in terms of increase or decrease. So in the short term, what we're saying is stable. And hopefully, as we highlighted, we're going to see an upward trend going into 2018. And the start of a new cycle, perhaps. And I'm sure everyone's wishing for that because we've been in this downward trend and this glut for a couple of years now. And if you look at property cycles, it just suggests that we're moving towards an upward trend.
And for a final question, what's the plan going forward for Property Guru?
So, yeah, I think Property Guru will continue to play its part in helping consumers make confident property decisions. So we continuously want to feed information and create more visibility in the marketplace so that consumers who go through that experience of finding their dream home, you know, they go through this experience that is more comforting and more easier and more empowering, actually, when you know of such information to help you make confident property decisions. So, yeah, you can look forward towards us providing such data points in the near future.
Thank you, Sheldon. And hopefully KL's property market does indeed improve going into 2018.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.